have to try to. My glasses suffered a fatality yesterday. No, I got some readers. I did look at them. I think they're going to be able to be resurrected. I got to take them down, and they're the kind that's got that little like monofilament line that runs underneath them. That thing snapped. Hopefully they can fix that. And I tweaked them a little bit, but anyway, I can read a lot of things with my contacts, but we'll see how it goes. If I don't read it right, you'll know I got an excuse, right? Can't hear, can't see. Sometimes I can't talk. But. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, and just thank you for this day. Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to hear you, Lord. I know you speak to us, and I pray that each one of us will think about our relationship with you, whether we have one or not. What kind of a relationship we have today, we pray for that you speak to our hearts that way, Lord, and we're just going to surrender everything to you, and Lord, have your will and way through the preaching and even through our listening, Lord, today, and I ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. God speaking, I know that in the past year, not maybe that long ago, I probably preached a message real close to this one about the fact that God speaks to us, and but nevertheless, it's the way God led, and I think it's probably one of the most important things that we can know, you know. And so we're not gonna exhaust this topic anyway in just a half an hour preaching service, whatever time we spend about the fact that God speaks. And you know, we've been studying on Wednesday night. I try to, you know, I get a little commercial break in here, I guess. Wednesday night. Our Bible study, we've been doing a study on how to study the Bible. I asked the church they want to do that. I've been sharing that with you. And it's been pretty helpful to us, looking at how we break things down. Kind of took me back to school when we were learning about that as you read. But, you know, we learned about the who, what, when, where, and why. And it really has caused me to focus on some specific words. And actually all the words a little bit more. A little word like is. Man, I mean, you know, you look at that, sometimes we read over that pretty fast, but, you know, is in the right spot. I saw one today during Sunday school hour. Paul was teaching, there was an is there. Boy, I'll tell you what, you could harp on that is for a long time. You know, is present tense, happening now. You know, it is, and so it's some good things. And so, you know, I want to share a little bit about that. When we think about this verse that I read just now, we think about the who. One of the who's, the who was the book of Hebrews, who the book is written to and why. Well, we, you know, it was written to the Hebrew Christians specifically, but at the same time, we can look at it this way. It's written to Christians specifically. God, through the church, he's removing all the obstacles. He was making of one blood, both Jew and Greek, or Jews and Gentiles. So he was really taking all that and had taken it away by the time this was written anyway. But it was there was a lot of Hebrew Christians that needed to know a few things a little differently, but it would still speak to us today. And so originally written to them, but it's still written to Christians today. And you can break it down just a little bit farther. As like I said, you can kind of keep going down. It wasn't necessarily written to unbelievers, although I think unbelievers could read Hebrews and still, you know, be saved, find something in there that, you know, would speak to their heart about that. And then, and so I think that we can look at that. We also can find out the who in regard to who spoke. And notice that Hebrews begins with one word, the word, you know, it begins with God. And I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. And also we look at how God, it said God who at sundry times and in divers manners, different manners, spake in times past. You know, and it tells us that. And then he goes on to say, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we see that the how and the when. You know, it was God spoke. It said, how did he speak? He spoke in different ways. When did he speak? In times past and in these present last days. He's speaking right now. And I think that's an important thing. And I'll share something with you about that in a minute as we get into a couple of the points. And so really what I want to talk to you about that today and help us understand that God spoke in times past and God has spoken and is speaking today. Probably more than anything I want you to know is that God still speaks to us today. We know he speaks through the word, different things, but God is speaking to us today. So, you know, I want you to contemplate that fact that God is speaking to you, that God speaks to you. He still does. It's not going to be apart from the word of God. He's not going to tell you anything contrary to what's written in the word, but there is a voice of God that speaks to your heart along the way, and if you'll just listen to that voice. So the very first point I want to talk about is God speaking. And as I said, look, that word God, the very first word, God, that's a big word. We can talk all day. We can preach on that the rest of eternity and never exhaust that word God. But it says it begins with this word God. If you go all the way back to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, it says in the beginning God. You could even switch it around and not do it any harm and say God in the beginning. So in the beginning God, that means at the beginning there was God. And here in Hebrews, he starts out with God, the very first thing. So all things begin and end in God. Everything begins and ends with God. I know man's got everything. They think we got so much going on that we think's important. We got all this stuff going on in the world. Listen, everything begins with and ends with God. Time, space, matter, motion, life, law, form, order, everything begins with God. And God, everything is going to come back to God. Everything moves out from God. And finally, everything is going to return back to God. And so we need to see that. We need to understand that whatever doesn't begin in God and end in God is not worthy of much of our attention. It's not. We have things that we have to do. We have responsibilities that we have to do in life. And I'm going to tell you what, there's no priority greater. There's nothing higher. And there's no place greater that should be in our life than God. God is the beginning. He's going to be the end. He is the end. So we have to see that. You know, we were created for God. This is why we were created. What's the meaning of life? You know, back in the 60s and 70s, everybody sat around, you know, what's the meaning of life? And they didn't figure it out a lot. So man's trying to do that. And we've got philosophers and all these things, and people come up with this great, listen, the meaning of life is you were created for God. God wasn't created for you because it was in the beginning God, and God was first, and you and I are second. Mankind was second. We were created by God for God to glorify God. That's our purpose in life. We learned that all the people on Wednesday night already know what our purpose is, right? Glorify God. You know that. We know that. That's our purpose. And it's done different ways, diverse ways, if you want to use that word right there. And so here we are. Listen, we are the people that are saved, all of us that are saved, we're immortal. We're never going to die. Huh? We're never going to die. I mean, my body might die. And the way it feels sometimes is about halfway dead now sometimes. Huh? I'm going to tell you what, huh? We feel that. But listen, my soul and spirit, I say this to you, I've said it before, but I want you to think about it. Your soul and spirit don't have any age to it. How old do you think you are in your soul and spirit? About 14, 15, huh? Right, we feel like it's the body ages. It's just the same. I can't believe how fast time goes by. I mean, it's just like unreal, but my mind, my soul and spirit. So here we are. We're immortal. We have immortality. So why should an immortal being give time to mortality or temporal thing? Why should somebody that is immortal, as a saved person, looking at it that way, why should we give our time and energy and so much of our time and energy to that which is temporary or mortal that's going to fade, pass away? Why should we give all our time to that? You know, who owned that piece of land you're living on today 100 years ago? Who physically owned it on the earth? Some of you might know, but most of us don't. Who's going to own it if God doesn't come back? And I believe the Lord doesn't come back, but in 100 years from now? We're just renting it, just time and space, right? We're just renting it. That's it. So here we are. And God spoke at different times in different ways. Now listen, if God speaks, God's got something important to say. What God has to say is more important than what we have to say. And so God speaks, and God loves, God is love, He does love, He speaks, He cares, He knows there's something that He wants for you and I, and He wants the best for you and I, not so much for you and I, but for His own self, but it'll benefit you and I. It all goes together. And so, and it says that He spoke at different times in different ways, but you know what? The message was always the same. It never did change. We watched a video. We did something unusual on Wednesday night. We had a video. It was Jim Cimbala started a prayer group up in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, of all places, inner city man, started with a handful of people. Now they run thousands on, they do it on Tuesday night. Maybe that's the key, but probably not. Tuesday, thousands. Thousands of people come to the prayer meeting and all this and that. And, you know, he told us some things and taught some things. And he said, listen, man, the message is always pointing us to God. It should be. You know, he said something about the singers. He said, listen, gospel singers, you're going to answer to God one day if your singing doesn't point people to God, point people to, you know, to Christ. And so the message is always the same thing. He had the same love. He had the same justice, the same holiness, the same righteousness, all those things. God is immutable. God doesn't change. He's always the same. He's always been the same. Listen, people in the Old Testament before Christ, they were still saved by grace through faith. It was always faith. Abraham had to exercise faith when God said, come on, I'm going to lead you to a land that I'm going to show you. Didn't even show you. It was faith. He put faith in God. It was always faith, and it's faith today. It's the same thing. And so, you know, because God speaks out of His nature. You know, he speaks love out of His nature, but He also speaks holiness out of His nature. We like to cherry pick it. I got something about that in a minute. We like to cherry pick what we like, but He's holiness, and there's mercy and grace, but there's also justice and judgment. Those things all come out of God's nature. That's how He speaks, and it's how anybody really speaks, but God particularly does that. When we look at the Old Testament, how God spoke in all the way back, you can go all the way back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. He spoke to Cain and Abel about forgiveness through sacrifice. He spoke about that, forgiveness through sacrifice, which was pointing ahead to Christ, of course. He spoke to Noah about grace. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? And so He spoke to Noah about grace. Abraham. He spoke to him about many things, but He also spoke to him about the coming of the Redeemer. He talked to him about that blessing that was going to come through a people. To Moses, He spoke the law. He gave Moses the law so that we would know, what we find out with the law. We found out we were sinners, right? When we got the law, listen, nobody could obey it. Nobody could keep it. We could keep some of it some of the time. We couldn't keep all of it all the time, and some of us didn't keep any of it any of the time. Right? And so what do we find? What did the law tell us? That you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ. This is what the law does. You'll never get to heaven by being good. You'll never get to heaven by being good. None of us. None of us will get to heaven by being good. That's why we need grace. That's why we need Christ. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Had a lady here a few weeks ago, need to check up on her. She had never understood that. And I said, you know, you're not going to be good. She goes, well, how do we get to heaven? I said, that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. She goes, wow. She said, I need to talk to you. We'll find out. So all of His messages were the same. They were telling man, God was telling man, us, of Himself. And pointing or leading or drawing men to Himself. That's what He did. And God, when we look at Hebrews, God had been speaking to man for over 4,000 years when this was written. He'd already been speaking to man all along the way. And so what happened? But what happened when sin entered? Man fled. Man fled in the Garden of Eden. Man ran away from God. Listen, man's still running from God. The whole world is running from God. We see all these things down through, you know, the world. Listen, this world is getting farther and farther from God. It's not getting closer and closer to God. It's just not. And so man fled, and what happened? You know, man built a race apart from God. You know what happened with Cain and Abel? And when Cain killed Abel, and then Cain, he was thrown out of the garden and he fled and he started another civilization. He started a whole civilization, and it was a world that knew that was apart from God. Listen, let's look at the whole world. If we look at the whole world today, there is a world. We are living in a world that is living like there is no God. They're not listening to God. They're not hearing God. They don't have any regard for God. There's a whole world out there that doesn't have any. And listen, is God speaking to them? Yeah, He's still speaking to them, but they're not hearing. And listen, you can sit on a pew in a church and the preacher be preaching and we got the Word of God and you can still not hear. You can still not listen. And man, think about that. God's still speaking nevertheless. It's just whether here. And I got Randy got me a little cricket machine thing here that so when I say something and y'all don't say amen or nothing. Let me see. I can't even make it work, Randy. Huh? I don't see a button. So when I got a good point, I think, and you guys just sit there like, huh? That's about it. So we got, Randy said stick it under the table, so I got to put it up to the mic so everybody can. But I hear in my ear, I got tinnitus. I hear all the time. It sounds like a whole field of crickets in the summertime. Now, it comes in handy sometimes. Sherry sits on that side. This year's worse. She's on that side in the car. Man, I can, you know, I didn't hear that. Man, I didn't hear. But it's a pain in the neck the rest of the time. I can. But listen, God can speak through that. You can be deaf and God speak to you. You don't have to hear a thing for God to speak to you. And so he is speaking to you. It's not like, when's God going to speak to me? God's speaking to you. He speaks to you today, right? And so, but man has fled and built this civilization, and we're living in the midst of it, and we see how wicked the world. We were talking in Sunday school class this morning about the compounded effects of sin, one being that people lived a long time. Adam lived a long time. Methuselah lived, you know, they were 900-year-old people, lived a long time. But now, because of the compounded effects, and I pointed this one thing out. In the garden, when sin entered into Adam and Eve, the first thing they did was they ran and hid themselves because they realized they were naked. And God killed animals and covered them up with skin, animal skins, right? Now people are doing everything that, but over the time, at least they were lost, but guess what? They had modesty. But today, we live in a world today where people are taking more and more off. They don't have any modesty because that's even gone away over the period of time. People are doing, how little can you wear out in public and get away with it? I mean, that and there's no, you know, there's no modesty because sin, it's the compounded effects of sin and because people aren't listening to God. And so even when A lot of man, listen here, and this is stuff that's been thought about and prayed about, and it can get deeper thinking and this and that. But you know, we can be here at church, and we are here. If you're here, you're here, right? But this could be anywhere. I could say this anywhere. We can be, and man can have God on his mind in a traditional way. Like we can come and say, well, you know what? It's time to clock in at church at 11 o'clock, or if you're a little more spiritual, at 10 for Sunday school. And if you get a little more spiritual, you come back and clock in at 6:30 on Sunday night. And then if you really get way out there, if you really get to be a Jesus freak, a fanatic, you clock in on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for the Bible, for the prayer meeting, right? You can do all of it. You can do it all. But it's just a tradition. It doesn't mean that you're listening to God speak. Amen. And you know how many of you know, all married couples know this, that hearing and listening is two different things. Right. And you can hear God speak and not do a thing that God says, right? Right. Okay, so what is it then? It's just a tradition. It's not really a relationship with God in that sense right there. We got to trim it down, see if we go too long. I've had people walk out of here, I'm telling you what, just like this. I got done preaching and I went to 11:45. And I'm going to look, they were looking this way, but I'm going to look at you like you're the pulpit. Okay. because I was a little bit longer than what they liked. Randy was laughing around this morning. The clock up there wasn't working. The battery got dead and it was stuck on one time. He said, oh, he said, man, we got to fix that. He'll preach forever. No, I won't. I'll tell you how long I'll preach till I get done. I always preach till I get done. I don't pay attention to the clock. I mean, this is a certain amount of time it goes, but sometimes it's longer, sometimes it's shorter, and you're over there praying, boy, I hope it's shorter today. Because this is why. They used to have a little thing on the radio. It was called this, and I know why they did it on the radio, but this is what we like. We want to give God his minute. It's God's minute. We want God's minute. We don't want to give him our life. We just want to give him a minute. We got a little song, an old Southern gospel, I guess it is, kind of rednecky Southern gospel song. We sing it in the choir sometime. Just a little talk with Jesus. That's all we want, just a little talk with Jesus. We don't want a big talk with him. And we want to do all the talking, and we don't want God talking to us. See, so it, you know, this is the way, so sometimes even in the realm of Christianity or the looser term of religion, we may have the concept of God, the thought of God, but the thought of God speaking to us or having a personal relationship with God, you know, we haven't got to that. And we do a lot more talking to God than God letting God talk to us. That can be another problem. And sometimes in human relationships, that's a problem too. So we see God speaking, then we see God speaking through. Hebrews 1:1 says, at sundry times, that means just different times, and in diverse manners, which means different ways. As I said, he always said the same thing. In Adam, when God spoke to Adam and Eve, it said that he spoke by a soft, gentle voice as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. It'll be like that again one day. I think that'll be the way it'll be one day when the time will come. And when in eternity, you know, God's going to speak that way somewhat. Abraham, it said, he spoke to him once in his sleep. Look out, I get a cricket. That thing's chirping. Was that you, Daryl, or this thing? Or maybe a cricket I got in my ear. Thing's going off on its own. He spoke to Abraham in a deep sleep. Now, I don't know exactly how he spoke to Abraham in a deep sleep. Maybe a vision-wise, probably, whatever. But I know when Abraham woke up, he wrote down what God said. He wrote it down. Moses and the prophets. He spoke Moses. We know he spoke to Moses in the burning bush. Moses heard his voice. He wrote to Moses. He wrote the law on a tablet of stone. Gave them to Moses. The prophets, they had dreams. The Bible said they had visions. And God talked through signs and visions of them. Last week I was talking about Peter up in the New Testament. Remember? He went up last week I was telling you about the noon. Middle of the day, he went up on a rooftop to pray, and it said he went into a trance, and God gave him a vision, and so God spoke to him through that vision. But the point is, and what I'm trying to show you is that God, whom the world thinks is silent, he speaks. Nothing that he said was contrary to the Word of God. It all would line up right with the Word of God. God's only silent when men will not hear him. They will not hear him. If you want to hear God, I tell people this all the time. I've talked to people out in the woods. I've shared with you turkey hunting, running into somebody. I've talked to people different places and had good conversations. And everyone that ever said to me, well, how do I know? How do I know that Christianity's true and all the other religions of the world are false? How do I know those things? Good. I said, I'll tell you how you know, if you really want to know. Now, you have to be, you know, you have to be real here. You have to be open-minded. I said, you pray to God. You ask God, God, show me the truth. And I'm going to tell you what he'll do. I don't know how. I don't know how he's going to show you. I don't know he can do it different ways and many things, speak to your heart. But I said, if you pray to God and ask God, you want to know the truth and you want him to speak to you and you want to hear him, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to hear him. You're going to hear him. But very few people in the world that don't already know God do that. And even some people that do know God don't do it. They want God to really speak to their heart. And God will do that. So I tell people that all the time. This is it, that he'll speak to you. Now we know that he speaks through the Scriptures. It says he here in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. Well, Jesus is what? The Word. The living Word. Man, he spoke to us by his Son. We got the Scriptures. And he still speaks through this Word right here. Huh? Listen, man, I'm going to tell you what, if this book right here is not saying anything to you, one, you're not reading it. And if you do reading it, it's just so you can check the box to say you read it. But if you're sitting there looking and you want God to speak to you through the Word of God, you got a remote on that thing? Huh? It keeps chirping. I don't know. Maybe it's bored, I guess. I don't know what I did. Anyway, we'll just deal with it. There's probably some real ones in here somewhere. But this book here still speaks to us if we'll, you know, it's like listening and hearing is different, but reading and understanding and reading and knowing is another thing too. It's the same, you know, like that. This is inspired Word of God. This is what God wanted to say. And God, everything that God would say to us is going to come off of this. You know, it's going to be in line with that. And so the Scriptures are inspired, and they speak by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us as we look at the Word. And God cannot speak contrary to it. But listen, this book right here, we can take this book and we can lay this book on the coffee table for 100 years and never look at it, never read it. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to say a thing to you. It's not going to say one. It won't say one word. You can carry it around. Listen, man, you can come bebopping in here on Sunday morning and look like the most spiritual person in the world, boy. Get slicked up and man, get the biggest Bible that you can get and tote that thing around everywhere you go, or have it in a little one of those bookcases, them Bible cases. You can drag that thing all around with you. Doesn't say anything to you unless you read it. Unless you read it with the intent of God speaking to you. I mean, I think that has to think about it. Think about this, the Ethiopian eunuch. We know about him. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He was riding away from Jerusalem in a chariot out in the middle of the desert. Holy Ghost of God got with Philip. Man, boom, get out into the desert. There's somebody out there got to see you. And he was reading Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. It's one of the most self-explanatory chapters in the whole Bible. But he didn't know what it meant. He said, and Philip asked him, he said, you know what you read? He said, no, how can me except some man guide me? Somebody guides me, huh? And it took the Holy Spirit speaking through Philip to reveal to him. And I'm going to tell you something. Philip knew something that he didn't know, the eunuch. He knew Jesus, and that Ethiopian eunuch didn't know him. And boy, when you know him, I'm going to tell you, when you know him, the world knows you know him. Amen. They know. Huh? They know you know him. You know you know him. It's not a doubt. You know. But you can read the Bible, like I said, and not hear the voice speaking, listen to me, to you. Speaking to you. You can study it. You can dissect it. You can translate it. You can study the Greek, you can study the Hebrew, you can study Aramaic, but unless it speaks to you and impacts your life, your conduct, personally, because I think you could still hear the voice of God speaking to you and say, God, I don't care what you say, I'll do it my way anyway. Amen. Right? You may not verbalize that, but if you don't do what it says, like you hear it, you understand it, but you do your own thing, right? That's what you'll answer to one day. You'll answer for that. You'll answer to God for that. And God's going to say, well, you knew. He knows when you know and when you don't know. In other words, you know, like there may be stuff that we don't understand, but God knows when you do understand. And that's what will be held against you. You'll be accountable for that. So if it doesn't affect you personally, what good is it for you? I'm going to get to that. This book, this is the final test of all morality, all doctrine, all beliefs. Doesn't matter what you say. See, you know how the old saying, it doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do, right? Doesn't matter what you say. And that book can lay dead as a doornail until a voice is heard speaking through it. And when you hear it, it's the eternal word. And that brings me to my last point. God speaking to you. This is where the rubber meets the road right here. I told Eileen, I said, put that in capital letters. Put you in capital letters. Because see, we can generalize, and I don't like to do that too often. Like, you know, we'll say us and we. We feel better if it's we. Well, we were all sinners. We could say that pretty easy, but when you say, hey, I'm a sinner, it's a little harder to do, right? This is the way it is. And so we're not living between the time when God spoke and when God's going to speak. We're not in a vacuum here. He's still speaking, and he's been speaking all along the way. And there's never been a time when God hasn't spoken to man. And let me say, here's where it is. This little word is. He is speaking to you. He is speaking to you. I know anytime the word of God is preached that he is speaking to us. And you may be hiding and running and stopping up ears, but God is speaking nevertheless. How long's them batteries last? Can y'all hear that out there? That's all right. Don't worry about it, man. We'll get it done. I'll get it at the end. Hey, a little humor's good. A lot of times, this is what we do. You know, we'll hear a passage of Scripture, and we'll say, boy, I bet that's really hitting old George there hard. Huh? Yeah, it's really, boy, that so-and-so needed to hear that. We don't have a problem knowing when God's speaking to somebody else, right? But it's when God's speaking to us. See, that's the difference. But he is speaking to you. And what does it say? Listen, what does the Bible say to us? Several things, a lot of things. I couldn't do it all, but I got a few little categories. One of the things the Bible says, let a man examine himself instead of looking at your neighbor and looking at everybody else. Huh? Oh, we know everybody else's faults. Like, as a matter of fact, if you don't know what your faults are, just ask somebody else. You'll probably have to tell them what theirs is, but just ask somebody else. Let a man examine himself, it says. Hold yourself up to the same level of examination that you hold everybody else up to. Right? And then the Bible says, consider your ways. Think about your life. Think about it. Not so much your action, but as your motive and your thoughts. You know, what's driving your life, you know. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Not getting to heaven that way, right? Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man, that's a dynamite verse right there. That is a dynamite verse right there. He's talking to saved people. That verse is to save people. See, you haven't been washed by the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost if you've never been saved. You've never trusted Jesus. That's to save people, the who, what, when, where, right? John 3:16, for the lost people, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There you go. You know, that's good news. That's good news, right? Boy, believeth is a big word, though. If you do a Bible study, man, it's not an intellectual belief. It's a heart belief. Satan believes intellectually. He believes with his mind. It's not in his heart. That's the problem. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, that's a big word again, in thine heart that God hath raised him. See, it said in thine heart. It didn't say if you believe in your head. It said if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Huh? That's how I got saved. You know how I got saved? I shared it with you before, but everybody wasn't here. I got saved when a preacher, I believed in Jesus all my life. I thought you could be good enough. I thought we were on our way to heaven, and if we did so many bad things, then we'd end up going to hell. And then I found that I was a born sinner, man, and I was on my way to hell until I trusted Jesus to be saved. But I remember, and the guy asked me, I mean, I was a grown man. I was 32 years old. And a guy asked me, he said, listen, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life? And I said, no, sir. He showed me that verse right there. I need to confess. I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. Didn't need anybody to convince me of that. But I had to see it from God's point of view. That's helpful. Examine ourselves and seeing sin from God's point of view. And so I asked Jesus to come into my heart, my living room, 1987, August 20th, Thursday night, Thursday evening. And then God did all the rest. God had done everything beforehand, and he did everything afterhand, right? So if you're not saved, and I believe that God speaks to everybody. God speaks to people that are saved, and I believe that God, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. God's speaking to you. But you got to hear him. I heard him that day. Well, actually, nobody had ever told me that before. Nobody ever told me those verses before. Thou shalt confess with your mouth. And boy, when I found out, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but man, when I found out I needed to be saved and I found out I was lost, I said, man, yeah, who in the right mind wouldn't want to be saved? Who in the right mind would say, well, here's eternal life with God in heaven, and here's eternal death in a Christless hell, which is darkness, and the absence of God is darkness. Who would say, well, let's see, let me think about this for a few minutes, huh? What's to think about, man? I want eternal life. I want forgiveness, man. I want to be reconciled back to God. And I tell you what, I didn't know why I wanted to be reconciled back to God when I first got saved. All I was looking at was avoiding hell and not having a home in hell. But I didn't really understand all what God had, all the blessings that God had. A relationship with God, walking with Christ, him dwelling in me, that God, the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling in my heart. For all of eternity, that God himself would come and dwell in me, that it would be the life of Christ and not my life. I didn't know that. I didn't know what fellowship was with God was like. I didn't know the peace that passes all understanding. I didn't know what the love of God that just flowing up inside of you was like. I didn't know nothing about that, man. I just know I needed to be saved. And God said, boy, have I got a surprise for you. Because when you get saved, boy, he said, let me pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to receive it. I've read about the old saints of old that got in them revival meetings, man, that went on all night long at 2 a.m. They're all scattered out in the cow pasture somewhere and begging God, God, I can't take no more. Just stop. Please stop. Because God was pouring out such a blessing on them, they couldn't even receive it. Thought their hearts were going to explode. Huh? That's what God has for us. Even us saved people that hadn't even experienced that. I didn't know none of that. I just was, I was still in the physical world, man. Who wants to burn in hell? Not me. I got burned every day. I was a welder for 20-some years. I got burned every single day. Every single day. Who wants to burn forever? Man, it was bad enough burning for 20 years. And my physical thing, I don't want to be in hell. I don't want to burn, right? And I want to go to heaven, boy, because that's going to be good, walking on the streets of gold. And boy, whoo, no more work. I didn't know nothing about the spiritual life that God had. The spiritual blessings and all them blessings. There ain't a physical blessing one that's as good as the spiritual blessings that God has for you. Huh? If you just ask him, call on his name, man. Huh? Don't be ashamed of him. Huh? Realize that he died for you, that Jesus died for you. Huh? Jesus died for you. You, not us. Don't he did, but take it personal that Jesus died for you. And guess what? Then he's speaking. He's calling out to you saying, listen, this is what I got for you. I love you. I want you to be saved. I want you to have everything I have for you. He's calling out your name. The question is, do you hear him? Do you hear him? And are you listening really? Huh? Are you listening to him? That's the key right there. Hearing him, man, and getting saved. Listen, because you can think about getting saved till the day you die, and it's going to be too late. I mean, to me, there's nothing to think about. There's nothing to think about. It's just, it's having God. So if God spoke to you today, I hope he did. Prayed that he spoke to everybody here. And we'll have an altar call as we always do. And I know people come down here. But if you're lost and you need to be saved, get my attention. And I pray that, and God's the one. Listen, I can't save you. All I can do is just tell you what God's telling you. Preach his word. But if you need to be saved, please get saved today. I never regretted it. I got saved. Listen, I had a wild life, lost as I could be. Got saved in 1987. Never regretted a single day. There was never been a day in my life where I thought, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. Never thought that one time. Never did. God worked a change in my life. Still not perfect, but God's still working. He works on us all the time. And he would if I'd listened better. Amen.